Chapter 8.
What the fuck? I shouted as I jumped backwards.
That is a very large cockroach, Dave,
Emma gasped. The disgusting insect was 10 feet high and at least 15 feet long. Its dark brown triangular head dipped, and its front legs shifted so that it could charge right at us. The 6 legs were covered in hairs that reminded me of needles, and its entire body was made up of a thick exoskeleton. Emma lifted her hands into the air, and sparks of lightning began to lick at her pale fingers. The air crackled with energy as she planted her foot to steady herself, and the strands of black hair that had escaped from her tidy bun began to float around her as she charged herself. She didn't have a trace of the fear that had frozen her the day before, and she reminded me of the gorgeous woman that I'd seen face down electric wolves in her world.
Can we eat it?
Fila asked as she licked her lips. I don't know, I said. They don't usually get that big. Let's kill it and then have Abby analyze it. It skittered over the discarded TVs and computers, and I held back a Wilhelm scream as I reached for my Glock. I let loose a few rounds that I aimed at its head. They landed next to its eyes, and its exoskeleton fissured out into thick cracks.
Well, that seemed to work,
Emma exclaimed. Aim your lightning where I hit it, I said. The exoskeleton looks pretty thick, but maybe you can get between the cracks.
Okay,
my Gibson girlfriend said. Her pale fingers twitched as she curled them like claws, and her lightning raced down her arms to join the small blue arcs on her hands. The sparks gathered together into a basketball-sized orb that she threw at the vile insect. She hit it just before it reached us, and the lightning ball managed to hit the exact spot that I'd shot. The creature's antennae waved into the air in a frantic pattern as it reared back on its hind legs. Its front 4 legs waved in the air, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw Fila lunge to the side to avoid the needle-like hairs. I squeezed out another few rounds in the gaping hole in its forehead as it continued to charge forward.
Why won't you die?
I growled after the 3rd shot hit its mark.
Oh, we need to figure something out,
Emma huffed as she jumped aside.
I think I can hurt it,
Fila said. The cat girl surged forward with her garden weasel lifted high and used one of the roach's mandibles to somersault herself up onto its head. The smooth surface slid under her feet a little, but she managed to catch herself. She squatted down, wiggled her perfectly round ass, and then jumped high as she brought her makeshift weapon down into the spot where Emma and I already hit it. The bottom-feeding insect reared back again as it tried to shake the saber-toothed woman off of it, but she held on tight and dug the garden weasel in deeper. A crunching sound echoed around the junkyard, and the massive cockroach finally fell to the ground with a thud that shook the ground beneath me. I think it's dead, I said, as I watched Fila free her garden weasel.
It's still twitching,
the catwoman said, and jumped to land gracefully next to me. Her black tufted ears were pinned to her auburn hair, and her tail swished behind her as she watched the creature for any signs that it was about to revive.
Oh, they do that sometimes,
Emma said as she lowered her hands.
I don't think it's going to get back up.
The cockroach is deceased,
Abby informed me.
It was old and dying, and therefore more frail.
That was frail? I sighed.
It moved slower than many of the videos that I have found, and its mandibles are not very sharp,
the robotic woman said. Great, I muttered. A gigantic geriatric roach. Well, at least no one was hurt.
Can I eat it?
Fila tilted her head and sniffed at the disgusting insect.
I would not advise consumption of the enlarged cockroaches,
Abby answered through her speakers. Why not? I asked.
According to my reports, the cockroaches reach their current size after the consumption of irradiated Little Debbie cakes,
the electronic woman said. What made the snacks radioactive? I asked as I walked around the geriatric insect.
There was a leak in a nearby nuclear facility,
the automated voice responded.
The resulting contamination killed any humans who remained in the city and irradiated any foods that were not completely sealed.
Why were the Little Debbie snacks open? I huffed. I found the drone winch after a few seconds of searching, but the damn thing was lodged underneath the corpse of the massive cockroach. It finally started to come free, but I stopped tugging on it when I heard the sound of metal scraping against metal.
The report that I have found theorizes that the leaked radioactive material seeped through all of the paper and plastic materials that it touched,
Abby said. What kind of radius does this leak have? I asked. Will we be safe to go into the city? I squatted down to peer underneath the disgusting creature. The scurrying garbage eaters had been the bane of my existence when I'd first moved out on my own. And the one in front of me was even worse since it was a giant. I lifted a piece of it up and shivered as the exoskeleton made a crunching sound.
The effects of the radiation should have subsided to tolerable levels by now,
the electronic voice said.
It will be safe to travel into the city during the daylight hours, but there is always a risk that one of the mutated roaches may emerge.
Right, I sighed. All right, do me a favor, keep an eye on the radiation levels around us just in case.
Is the radiation the reason that they never came back?
Emma asked. Probably, I said. Or maybe the damage had already been done and they decided to ditch everyone. It sounds like only the super rich made it out, and those assholes never care about what they leave in their wake. She'd meandered over to a different pile of defective equipment and pulled out a roll of leather that looked like it had something inside. The dark brown skin rolled out as soon as Emma tugged on the string, and a triumphant smile lit up her face when she held up a ceramic chef's knife.
Oh, these are beautiful,
she said.
I wonder why it was labeled defective. Ah, here it is. The label seems to be upside down on the leather. Well, that certainly won't bother me.
That's a nice find, I said with a grin.
Those on the space station voted not to return to the surface after the emergence of the mutated cockroaches,
Abby stated. Naturally, I said as I rolled my eyes. It wouldn't be their problem, and those pompous assholes wouldn't want to break a nail trying to take the Earth back and actually shut down the fucking machine they built. I sat down so that I could better look underneath the roach's body at my drone winch. It was wedged up against a shattered TV with a jackhammer underneath it that had scraped off some of the paint when I pulled at it. I sighed, frowned, and leaned back as I tried to figure out how we could get rid of the massive insect so I could get my drone out safely.
What is wrong, Dave Meyer?
Acrasis asked as she crouched down next to me. The damn bug fell on the drone winch, I huffed. We need that drone if we're going to get a shipping container back to the base. We don't have enough daylight to cut this thing up and get it out.
I will consume the insect,
the alien woman said. It could be radioactive, I said.
I do not believe that it will harm me,
the slime woman said as she stood.
Do you think that I would be safe to eat it?
Fila asked. I'm more worried about you eating it than I am about a crisis, I said as I pushed myself to my feet. Maybe you can eat a few of the smaller ones if we find any, but I wouldn't eat more than five. And I'll have Abby scan you after each one to make sure you're not getting sick.
Good,
the saber-toothed woman said with a grin that showed off her fangs.
I would like to eat fresh meat. I will eat the cockroach now,
Raz said. She gave Fila and I just enough time to back away before long streams of slime arched out from her body. The green and purple swirls in her expanding body shimmered in the late morning light, and I watched in awe as the roach disappeared into the giant bubble of slime that she'd become. It only took her a few minutes to eat the giant insect, and I stared at her the entire time like she was a special on the Discovery Channel. Her acid liquidized the exoskeleton so that she could consume it, almost like how spider venom worked. I grinned when she'd finished eating and reformed her beautiful curves. Her oil-slick-colored hair brushed against her shoulders as she ran her hands over her smooth skin, and my fingers itched to do the same. Oh, that was amazing, I said with a grin. There was nothing left, and somehow the amazing slime woman had managed to keep her acid from touching the defective machines and electronics that the insect had been on.
Thank you, Dave Meyer,
Raz said with a mimic of my smile. How do you feel? I walked over to her and looked her up and down.
I am fine,
the alien woman said, before she reached up to kiss me.
The radiation was in low levels, and I have adapted to the type of poison it exudes.
Great, I said while I wrapped my arms around her. I'm glad you weren't hurt. Thank you for getting rid of it.
That was impressive,
Fila said as she joined us. Her tail swished behind her, and she wore her sassy smirk on her perfect lips. The leather tube top that hugged her round breasts bounced with every movement, and my gaze drifted down to her muscular stomach and her leather miniskirt. She wiggled her hips a bit before she reached around me to grab her garden weasel, and I caught a glimpse of the soft curls between her muscular thighs.
We should head out soon, I managed to say after she straightened.
Abby, do you think you can activate the drone winch and have it follow us?
As you wish, Dave Meyer,
the robotic woman said. I took a step away from the large drone as the sharp helicopter blades came to life. It was like Christmas when the drone winch lifted into the air, and the thick metal cables underneath it reeled themselves in. I had wanted a drone when they'd first come out, but Saul had gone on a long rant about the pedophile lizard bastards that would use them to monitor everyone, and I gave up the argument. I could almost hear the rant as the thing flew above my head. Abby, I said, as I realized that someone might still be monitoring the Earth. Can you make sure that no one can track our movements or take over the drone?
As you wish, Dave Meyer,
the electronic voice said. The little digital rigs walked onto the left lens of my Namshubs, shook his massive afro, and then cracked his knuckles. The lens filled with the blue drone icon while the miniature man rolled his shoulders. He finished his stretches like he was flesh and blood rather than code, and then went to work. After a few seconds, the rig's replica gave me a thumbs up, and the winch display turned black.
The THL is now offline,
Abby updated. Perfect, I said. We should head into the city before it gets any later.
I will redirect your route, Dave Meyer,
the automated woman said. The little figure of Riggs wandered off of the lenses, while the now black drone winch symbol minimized until the golden path filled most of my vision. It was just opaque enough that I could see it, but not so solid that I wouldn't be able to see any obstacles in my path. Are you ladies ready to go? I asked, and turned toward the bright orange jamboree.
I am,
Emma said. She added a set of heavy bottom pots into the back of the Jeep, along with her new set of ceramic chef's knives. The kitchenware was exactly what the Victorian-era woman had been hoping for, and her pale cheeks were flushed with happiness as she looked at me. Did you find everything you wanted? I asked with a smirk.
I did,
the Victorian-era woman said.
And I even found a few sets of spices that aren't out of date. Do you think they would be okay to eat, or do you think they'll be irradiated as well?
I don't see why not, I said. We're far enough away from the nuclear plants that they shouldn't have been touched, but we can have Abby scan them just in case. I walked over to the bright orange Jeep and then lifted one of the boxes out of the back. It had a picture of globe-shaped spices on a spinning carousel made of bamboo. The box wasn't wet, and the date on the back of the package said that the spices wouldn't expire for another year, but I waited patiently for my Namshubs to finish their diagnostics.
The box is undamaged,
Abby said when she was finished.
And I detect no signs of radiation. According to my reports, the radioactive materials should have lost their potency. I will inform you if I detect any changes.
Thanks, I said as I put the box back down. Looks like you're good to go with your spices.
Yes!
The Gibson girl look-alike cheered. She climbed into the back seat and bounced up and down like she was a kid that had been given free rein in a candy store. Maybe we can find a few stores with canned foods for you to add to our collection, I said. Those shouldn't have been corrupted by the nuclear leak.
Will there be more canned meats?
Fila asked with a wrinkled nose. The saber-toothed woman took the front passenger seat. A brand new garden weasel and a leather scabbard that held a machete were clenched in the Catwoman's hands. She looked pleased with herself as she wedged the weapons between her seat and the door, and her ears twitched back and forth as she listened to our surroundings. Probably, I said. We'll stock up on as many as we can so you have plenty of food. There's no telling what the next world will have.
I will eat them, though I hope that I can find some of the smaller insects to eat,
the sexy Catwoman said.
I would also like to find more vegetables for Floppy to eat. He needs more food than what we've been able to give him.
We should be able to find a few grocery stores as long as the city isn't one giant junkyard, too, I said as I cranked the engine.
The Gilding PM has primarily deposited its defective materials in the canyons outside of the city,
Abby said.
The reports of the downtown area show that most of the streets and buildings remain vacant, though the Gilding PM has harvested materials from the skyscrapers.
Well, that's going to be creepy, I muttered.
I started forward at a snail's pace, but soon enough we'd found our way over most of the mounds of defective machines and furniture. The debris thinned out once we were on Woodward Avenue on our way to the shipyards. I'd never been so grateful for a finished road, especially after that last jolt made the shocks whine and my ass hurt from bouncing in the seat. The Detroit skyline looked nothing like it had in my world. Booker Tower was missing its top half, like the funding had run out long before it was done. The drone winches that had stolen the glass and steel moved slowly through the sky with pilfered materials grasped in their hook-like arms. The trees that lined the sidewalks had grown taller than they ever would have with the proper city maintenance. Roots cracked the sidewalk and fought for space with the grass and dandelions that sprouted from the broken concrete.
"This is terrible,"
Emma whispered.
"It's like a ghost town."
"It is," I agreed. "It looks like the Gilding PM really picked over the skyscrapers and the historical houses."
"There are many flying robots,"
Fila growled. Her yellow-green eyes were trained on the drones that flew above us, and her black tufted ears laid all the way back on her auburn hair. The new garden weasel she'd found was gripped in her clawed hand, and when one dipped down, she let out a low, warning growl like she could scare the mindless machine away. She bared her long fangs until the bot had moved along, but her slitted pupils stayed as wide as saucers. "They don't seem to care about us," I said. "It's probably been years since they've even seen a human. As long as we don't attack them, they'll probably leave us alone."
"I will keep my eyes on them,"
the saber-toothed woman said, as another zoomed past. "That's a good idea," I said. "How about we look for a few grocery stores on the way to the shipyard?"
"I think that would be best,"
Emma said from behind me.
"Just in case any of those bots decide to turn on us, we'll at least have retrieved some more food so the trip won't be a complete waste."
"Exactly," I agreed. "Abby, can you find us the nearest grocery store?"
"There is a neighborhood market 1 mile from here,"
the robotic woman responded.
"I will redirect you now."
The golden path in my Namshubs shifted to show that I needed to take the next left. I followed along the new route until the area to my right opened up into a wide parking lot with a green and white building. The painted lines had long since faded, and the lamps that spotted the black concrete had rusted with time and were covered in crawling green vines. There were carts still in the return area, their wheels rooted to the ground where the grass had grown up over them, and their metal baskets had decayed where they hadn't been consumed by greenery. Even the plastic sign that showed that it was the return area had faded and was cracked along its hardened surface. "All right," I said as I pulled the jamboree right up to the front doors. "We should be the only humans in the city, but keep your eyes open and watch out for any wayward drones."
"I will watch for any enemies that may come along,"
Acrasis said from the back passenger seat. Her dark emerald eyes scanned the horizon as she climbed out of the jeep. A thin layer of slime spread out from her feet and then seeped into the ground. She stood completely still as the part of her in the broken concrete looked for enemies, and I wondered if she really needed to see anything or if she could just sense it.
"I have my weapons,"
Fila said.
"I'm a little worn out, but I think I can still summon a little lightning,"
Emma said as she joined us on the sidewalk.
"I hope there are small insects inside,"
the saber-toothed woman said before she ran her pink-tipped tongue over her fangs.
"I am growing hungry."
"Just make sure not to eat too many," I warned. "I don't want you to get radiation poisoning because of some roaches."
"I will be wary, Dave Meyer,"
the sexy catwoman flashed a snarky smirk as she sauntered into the store. I followed after her, my eyes darted around like I was in one of my zombie apocalypse video games, and I half expected to hear banjo music start to play as we made our way toward the canned foods aisle. The long aisle was lit by the sunlight that poured in from the nearly missing tin roof. I brushed one of the shelves clear of fallen leaves and dust, and then leaned over to try and read the faded label on the cans in front of me. Fila managed to find a few cockroaches the size of my hand. I tried to ignore the sound of their exoskeletons as she crunched down on them, but it still made a shiver of disgust run through me. She sniffed each one before she'd popped them into her mouth and then chewed slowly like she was eating fine cuisine instead of a bottom-feeding insect.
"They do not taste any different from the ones I've eaten before, Dave Meyer,"
she declared before she scooped up another one. Good, I said without looking. But make sure you don't eat too many. I glanced her way long enough for Abby to do a full body scan of the Catwoman. The robotic woman took a few seconds since she was still gathering a baseline for Fila, but the radioactive isotope reading had a green checkmark. I let out a relieved sigh and then shook my head as the sexy saber-toothed woman pounced on another crunchy roach.
Oh, there are just so many choices that I don't know where to start,
Emma exclaimed with a happy clap of her hands.
I can try so many new recipes, but first I'll start with the basics.
It looked like the shelves had just been restocked when everyone left, and I wondered why the looters hadn't stolen all of the goods before they left town. I knew that the machine had attacked the people of the city, and that the roaches had taken out those who remained. But there had to have been plenty of people that had helped themselves to the grocery stores on their way out of the city. Abby, can you scan those cans and tell me if there's anything wrong with them? I asked as I came to stand beside Emma. A stream of lasers emitted from the frames of the namshubs and began to scan the aluminum cans where they sat on the dusty metal shelves. The corn was checked first before the lights moved on to the green beans and peas, and then finished with the mushrooms and tomatoes.
There is no radiation,
Abby said after a few moments.
The cans do not seem to be damaged, and there is no bulging to indicate that their contents have expired.
Then why are there so many? I wondered.
I believe that this part of the city was vastly left untouched by humans after the gilding PM defended itself,
the automated voice responded. Good news for us, I guess, I muttered. All right, let's grab as much as we can carry. I don't want to stay here too long because we still need to find a shipping container, and I want to take a look at this machine that no one could shut down.
Sounds like a good plan to me,
Emma said.
I retrieved a few of the baskets from the front of the store so we can carry more.
You're brilliant, I said as I took one of the green plastic baskets. I grabbed as many of the canned meats that I could find before I moved on to the vegetables. Fila's iron stomach could handle the out-of-date meats, and there were enough preservatives in them that they'd probably be edible forever. I'd have to have Abby scan them again to be safe before Emma could cook them for us, but I was confident that they'd be just fine. Fila followed my lead and piled her basket high with the meats, and Acrasis did the same. The alien woman had joined us after her initial inspection of the area, though she'd left part of herself outside as a lookout. We worked quickly, and I couldn't help but grin as both Fila and Acrasis retrieved extra baskets for vegetables when they saw that Emma was having trouble carrying so many cans at once. I'd grabbed an extra one as well, though I had split mine between meat and vegetables. All right, I said once we were all back in the bright orange Jeep. Let's hit up the gilding PM machine first and then check out the shipyard. If we can figure out how to shut the thing down, then it won't attack us when we try to take a shipping container.
Rerouting,
Abby said as I cranked the engine. The factory where the drones came and went was only 2 miles away from the grocery store, and it was just as eerie as the rest of the city when we pulled up to the chain-link fence. There were scorch marks all along the sidewalks and the rusted metal gatehouse, and empty cars sat at odd angles like people had tried to use them as a barricade. The massive doors to the factory were wide open, and there were flashing lights on the inside that I assumed was the gilding PM. I half expected to be attacked the second I rolled the jamboree through the gate, but none of the flying robots paid us any attention. The tires of the jamboree seemed like they'd gotten louder as I snuck us closer to the building and parked behind a gas tanker. I intended to check the giant transport for any of the liquidized dinosaurs before our return trip. We'll have to be careful going in there, I warned. According to Abby, the gilding PM isn't above killing humans to keep itself safe. We need to find the main control center and see if there's an off switch or something.
Wouldn't they have tried that?
Emma asked as she climbed out behind me. Well, you'd think so, I said. But I want to give it a once-over, just in case. This thing may be territorial, and if we can shut it down before we take the shipping container, then I would feel safer. We snuck across the parking lot as the drones continued to fly in and out above us. A few swooped down, but not close enough that they could hit any of us, and I hurried us toward what looked like the office area before they could change their minds. I peeked into the main warehouse to see the huge machine that stood in the center. It hadn't rusted at all, and except for a few scorch marks on the side, the damn thing looked like it had been built yesterday. Its display was huge and depicted a table. The metal arms that protruded from the top of it reached around it to grab the supplies needed from the neat stacks the drones had made, and then it began to assemble the piece of furniture on its display in just a couple of minutes.
No wonder the world was overrun,
Emma whispered from beside me. The table was removed from the construction area by two small drones, and the gilding PM moved on to its next piece of furniture. It would have been a great invention if it actually had an off switch. That's pretty efficient, I said with a shrug. Let's see if we can find the main control room. I saw a balcony above the machine with what looked like an office, so I snuck us around to the metal staircase. The thin steel whined when I put my weight on it, but it held as I started to climb. I managed to reach the top of the staircase without the gilding PM noticing me, or my heart jumping out of my chest, and the girls followed right behind me. The main control room had large, grimy windows that overlooked the machine below, and papers that were scattered all around it. The back wall of the room was covered in a giant flat-screen monitor that showed the progress of the machine below, and dust covered every inch of the keyboard and desk below them. I checked for a plug, but was surprised to see that there wasn't one, though there were thick wires that went into the floor, and I was pretty sure those connected to the gilding PM. The wires were covered in thick plastic that looked like Edward Scissorhands had tried to cut them, but only a few thin slices of the hard covering had been removed. I made a mental note not to mess with them, since the possessed machine would probably notice right away, and then started to search the papers for an instruction manual. The ladies fanned out to help me look while I decided to check the actual hard drive. I blew the dust from the keyboard and muttered to myself about the gilding company making their very own Skynet. At least if the damn thing had become sentient and had decided to keep making furniture, though it had made a few killer robots too. A small ding went off when I clicked the escape button, and my heart climbed into my throat as green lines of code began to race across the screen of the monitor. It reminded me of the Matrix, and I was just coming to the conclusion that we were all about to be killed by drones, when Saul's face suddenly appeared with a small grin that I knew meant trouble.
"Hello, asshole," my father said. "Welcome to hell."